smoking in cars where children are passengers could soon be banned here in Northern Ireland. The Health Minister, Simon Hamilton, has announced an amendment to a bill currently going through the Assembly. He said that he had taken note of the bans in other UK regions and he believes Northern Ireland should follow suit. So is this just common sense or the government sticking its nose into people's lives? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Joining me this morning, amongst others, the SDLP health spokesperson, Fergal McKinney. Fergal, we'll kick off with you if you don't mind. So first of all, tell us a little bit about this bill and the amendment, first of all. And is this something you would applaud the minister for?
Well, the minister hasn't put down an amendment just yet. He's planning to put one down. The only person who's actually put one down is me. And I did that because I wasn't convinced that the DUP were going to back an amendment. Their colleagues in Westminster, when this was put down in English legislation in October, voted against. So rather than leave it to chance, I put an amendment down yesterday, which is about exactly what the minister may do later on. But I'm delighted to hear that, in fact, it looks like the political spectrum up at Stormont is backing the concept of what the SDLP is.
So why do you feel so strongly about this, Fergal, so strongly that you went ahead and put down this amendment? So outline the case.
Well, basically, children don't have a choice, yet they are the most detrimentally affected if they're in a car with somebody who's smoking. Once you exhale into a car, clearly, it's an enclosed space. But also, there's an awful lot of toxins. Children breathe faster, and they're more likely, because their immune systems aren't developed sufficiently, and they're small, to be affected unnaturally by that level or intensity of smoke in a car. That means they get things like asthma and bronchitis. And just interestingly, there's a big increase in the rates of bronchitis at the moment. I don't know if that's a connection. But children can find themselves, and they don't have a choice at all. So it's very simple. It's a discouragement to people to smoke. After all, we're protecting adults in pubs, and we thought the world was going to stop on its axis years ago when that was proposed, and yet it's taken us all this time to get to look after our children who could be unnaturally affected. So it's a discouragement. In the first instance, the police would probably, under the SDLP's proposal, impose an on-the-spot fine. We don't actually see that as raising lots of money, because I think people will, just as in the smoking ban, understand that this is the most sensible thing to be doing. If you're an adult and there's no children in the car, you can smoke.
So what sort of level of fine are you looking at then?
Well, we're just looking at a £50 fine.
So it'll be a £50 on-the-spot fine for anybody caught smoking in their car with children on board.
And that's where I welcome this kind of discussion, and this should have been happening a long time ago. People will begin to understand, because there'll be to and fro's in this debate, that in fact it's the right thing to do, but it's important. And this is the additional thing that I've proposed in my amendment, which is that we have a public information campaign. The people understand this is about common sense. It's about doing the right thing by our children. It's not a nanny state, but if you connect the word nanny and children, you might be forgiven for saying that at least we're protecting them.
And who are you expecting to enforce this then? The police?
The police, yeah.
I mean, they will say, well, we've quite a bit to be getting on with them, and we're struggling as it is.
Yes, and they might do that, but I can't think of a case in recent history where the police have taken a pub owner or a nightclub owner to court over smoking in pubs. People just don't do it now. And this is really about societal change. They've already, as I said to you at the start, done this in England. Wales, Scotland and Ireland are all following suit, and they'll have theirs introduced soon. That would leave Northern Ireland out of the loop. So,
But to get back to the point of the police, you don't think it's unreasonable in the current set of circumstances to ask the police to resource this?
No, and it's not as if the police are running around the countryside looking actively for people. It's when they spot somebody, they find that person's going to tell their relatives, I was stopped today smoking in the car with a child, dang it, I've got a £50 fine. That word will spread, and as I say, given the societal impact that that'll have, I would see that the police and fines issue tapering out to very little over a reasonably short space of time. So it's not going to cost any money. It shouldn't cost people, because they listen to the message from wider society. In that context, context, I'd like to thank all of those, like the Chest, Heart and Stroke Association, etc., who've been actively involved in this for many years.
Well,
I'm delighted now to hear, because you know, the SDLP stood up in the chamber yesterday and says we were introducing and had introduced, as soon as that second stage was over, we put down our amendment. We've been working on it for months. The DUP minister indicated that he would support. Sinn Féin are saying they would support. I can't see Alliance or Ulster Union is going against. So we could have, you know, and that's the stuff of devolution. That's what we should be doing, looking after our most vulnerable in a cost-effective way and producing good outcomes so that young children don't grow up with long-term conditions or even short-term conditions, which somehow or other could affect them maybe later.
OK. Fergal, stay with us. 0330 80 55 55. Dave Atherton listening to that from Freedom to Choose. Do you buy that argument, Dave?
No, I don't at all. Well, first of all, can I point out, when the smoking ban came out in Ireland and Britain, so ever since then, something like 15,000 pubs are closed in Britain and Ireland, and about 150,000 people have lost their jobs. So I think for some people, the world did fall off its axis. So let's first of all get that one out.
Yeah, but it is a bit ludicrous to think that we are sort of in a situation where there is legislation protecting adults in pubs, but no protection for children in cars.
I don't need protecting from myself. And I think the vast majority of adults can make their own decisions on their behalf and don't need the nanny state or some bossy politician to tell me how to live my life.
We'll let you come back, Fergal. Hold on. I'll let Dave finish the point.
Yeah, no. Pubs are private property. No one holds a gun to your head to go in there. There's no obligation to go into a pub. And you know, if you think the loss of jobs, the loss of pubs, and the loss of community spirit is a price worth paying for your nanny state, I think you're welcome to it. And talking to politicians who are wasting the taxpayers' money, there was a survey done out of Dublin by Trinity College. They observed 2,000 people coming in and out of Dublin. Only one car they observed had a child in it where a person was smoking out of 2,000 journeys. If it wasn't an electronic cigarette, you can't tell from a distance.
So you think the overwhelming majority of parents are responsible enough and actually don't smoke while they're in the car with kids?
Absolutely. There was something done in England. There was 90% compliance. People didn't smoke in the car with their kids, and this is just one of the worst examples basically the people are policing themselves on this. They don't need politicians to tell them how to live their lives, but they're voluntarily not smoking in pubs. Not smoking in cars. And you know, this is the kind of thing that really irritates me. The other thing I want to ask you is, what's the difference between banning smoking in a car to banning smoking in the home? Both are entirely private spaces.
Fergal McKinney?
Well, we're not proposing to ban smoking in a home.
Yes.
So, and there is a difference between smoking in a home and smoking in a car because there's greater space. But I buy the private property argument. But the other thing is that children don't have a choice when they're travelling in a car with their parents. And I accept maybe some of the findings from people who've looked at this. But what we need to do is recognise that children are travelling in cars with
Yeah, adults. But Dave Atherton's making the point that he's saying that he believes the overwhelming majority of parents are actually responsible enough and don't smoke while their kids are in the car, and therefore the legislation basically isn't required.
Well, he's relying on a piece of research done out of Trinity in Dublin, and you know, I haven't seen that. I don't know if it's true or if it's not true. I believe the Chest, Heart and Stroke Association, which is
obviously Fergus, it's my job to research these things and find out about it.
Just return to your point about the closure of pubs, by the way, and you're drawing a direct line between smoking and the closure of those pubs. What also happened in the last decade or so is that an awful lot of people are buying their alcohol now and consuming it at home. There's been a driving ban as well, where people have now, both in Ireland and in England, are not allowed.
Well, you're making my point for me. That's exactly the point. So people are going down the
Let Fergal finish. I'll bring you back,
these
Dave.
These are important considerations for government to take into account, and we would be lambasted if we didn't take them into account. If we didn't look at alcohol levels and people driving, and look at the amount of people now who have survived. saved or lived or who would not have been killed as a result of the fact that we've introduced that. So this is responsible government looking at our children in this context.
But I'm still trying to get my head around the idea, Fergal, of sort of how many people would still smoke with children in the car. I mean, what sort of figure are we talking about?
Well, what we want to do is get it down to zero. We want to get it down to the situation that there's a societal change that people will not smoke in cars.
That's not going to happen with what's planned here. If police, as you've already said this morning, aren't actively going to look for people who are smoking, it's basically on an ad hoc basis. If you're unlucky enough, if you're the person who's going to get the fine to be seen by a policeman, then that's what happens.
Yeah, but even your other contributor there is acknowledging that people voluntarily now don't smoke in bars. They don't see it now any longer as a possibility of being fined. They accept that it's no longer acceptable in a modern society to be breathing their second-hand smoke over other people.
Yes, but the point is that you feel that there are enough people who still irresponsibly would smoke with children in the car to make this legislation worthwhile doing.
I am the singular, but I was in a traffic queue just 4 days ago, and the two people behind me, a husband and wife, I assumed, or at least partners, were smoking, both of them, with their children in the car.
Dave Atherton, you wanted to make a point, and then I'll take some calls in the 030-3080-5555. And I know Neil Johnson from Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Strokes waiting to get in as well. Go on ahead, Dave, just quickly, if you could.
Well, indeed. Also, the other point I wanted to make was about some of the research that was done by the anti-smokers. If, for example, the driver is smoking, all the person has to do is lower the window, and it's perfectly safe. Virtually all the smoke goes out of the car. And
what about the fumes that come in?
well, surely that's you want to end smoking in cars based on the supposed harm of passive smoking. We should be banning all cars from the road, surely.
No, the point would be, you know, that a lot of people would say that the fumes that come in would be just as dangerous as people who would put the window down to let the smoke out of their car.
Well, in that case, let's ban driving with kids in cars, full stop. Then we've got the end of it. Once the legislation, slippery slope of legislation starts, it will never stop, will it? So let's ban all children in cars. Also, they're a major distraction as well, of course. I got two myself, and when you're driving along, we're always bickering in the back seat. So with the fumes and everything else, let's ban smoking, let's ban children in cars, full stop.
Let's get Jim in this morning. Jim?
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you, and yourself?
I'm good. So where do you stand in this? Good legislation? Do you think there's still a large number of people out there who would light up a cigarette in the car with children on board?
Yes, but could I just say something else? In 2004, the law came out that anyone that had a company vehicle was not allowed to smoke in the vehicle because it was regarded as part of the workplace.
Yes.
Now, that covers an awful lot of people. Yet I have never read that any driver was prosecuted. Now, and though the first thing came out was the driver could be fined, I think it was £200, and the company could be fined £1,000. That's one point. Secondly, who is going to police this?
Well, Fergal McKinney has already said this morning it's going to be the police.
Well, listen, he wasted his time, so he did. No disrespect to him, because the police are supposed to police anyone on a mobile phone. How many people have been fined for using a mobile phone when driving?
Yeah, but the point is, though, Jim, they can't be expected to be everywhere all of the time.
Right, Jim. Sorry, just to be clear, I mean, Neil's both, I think, backed me and not backed me at the same time. He's pointed out that we had a business ban, if you like, in terms of, and that has largely stopped people smoking in cars, which is seen as a workplace. Especially when other people are, and it gives people the right to say to somebody who's driving in that car that it's that they shouldn't be smoking because it's a business vehicle. The other point is that, as I've said earlier on, in terms of the pubs, that has stopped it, so that has worked. And now, children are voiceless in this. And if Neil wants to stand up and tell people, look, you let your father and mother smoke all over you, that's all right. But we want to give this an opportunity. We think there's enough evidence there.
Jim, do you...
In terms of parliamentary precedent, that England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland have also adequately researched this and discovered that there's sufficient need to do this. And I don't want to leave it to chance. I'm looking day and daily at huge health service consumed by people with long-term conditions. And I argue day and daily for early intervention.
Jim,
that early intervention extends to something like this that prevents people smoking in a car with a child who has no choice. But who
can I ask you a question?
Go on ahead, Dave.
Okay. Well, how do you explain in the 1950s and 60s when the majority of people smoked, and presumably kids were exposed to cigarette smoke on a daily, hourly basis. Something like there's been a two-thirds reduction in smoking in the last 40, 50 years. Can you explain to me why asthma has risen threefold in that time?
I don't have an answer to that. There could be other answers around diesel smoke. There could be answers where we're talking about global and climate change issues. Although, at the same time, I could probably say that chimney smoke is managed largely. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if his figures are actually right in the first instance.
Right. It was actually from the British Medical Journal Thorax website. I read that on. And also, could you explain to me why in the 1998 World Health Organization paper onto research into passive smoking? First of all, they didn't find any correlation between lung cancer and heart disease and exposure to passive smoke. But they did find that children who were exposed to cigarette smoke had a statistically significant reduction in lung cancer of 22% if they were exposed to cigarette smoke when they were young. Can you explain that as well?
Well, look, I haven't seen that research. Dave, you seem to spend a lifetime looking at any type of research that'll back your argument.
The World Health Organization is quite a famous one. They try to cover it up.
It might be, but you're gathering it all up and reflecting it out.
I've actually got 10,000 medical papers on my PC at home.
Yeah, I'm sure.
About 200 of those are under
So you're saying basically, Dave, that you don't think passive smoking really affects children whether people are smoking in the car or not?
I'm not suggesting that, but I'm certainly suggesting exaggerated, and certainly you guys, politicians and also doctors are cherry-picking information.
Oh, let's bring in Neil Johnston in this, who's from Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke. Neil, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You've listened, I'm sure, to both sides here. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I'm glad that, as Fergal has outlined there, that there is cross-party support for this issue. Our polling in 2014 showed 82% in favour of introducing a ban. It is a very small minority of people, I'll grant you that. The majority of smokers are sensible. But as Fergal has pointed out, there are these exceptions to prove the rule.
Are there many, Neil? I mean, again, I don't want to harp on about this, but I mean, yeah. It'd be good to know. I mean, is there any sort of anecdotal evidence or any firm evidence that suggests how many parents or people who would still smoke in a car when kids are travelling with them?
No, there isn't, but there is strong anecdotal, whether it's from Fergal or Jim Wells and other MLAs, my own, you know, you do not have to travel far in Northern Ireland to see, unfortunately, children in cars and their adults smoking in the car. And the evidence is there. Dave can throw out as many studies, some of them I noticed he's quoting from the 50s and 60s, but the recent studies are showing that there is an increased risk of asthma, lower respiratory infections, bronchitis, middle ear disease, bacterial meningitis from secondhand smoke amongst children. And therefore, the right thing to do is to send out a strong societal message that this is something that you should not do, and that to provide the police with the ability on occasion to bring people to court and to fine them for doing that.
Would you spread this to the home?
No. This is about protecting children when they're out in car in this very confined space where there is strong evidence that it is damaging to children's health.
Yeah, but they could be sitting in a living room with a parent who's smoking and be suffering just as much.
But, you know, as I say, in chest, heart and stroke, we are always working with the grain of public opinion.
It's the next logical step.
No, absolutely not. Dave is trying to create a sort of scare thing about this.
In 1998.
There we're going, quoting, throwing out figures left, right, and centre from years ago.
But it's a quote.
The bottom line is, we are working with.
Hold on a second, Dave. Let me finish the point. I'll bring you back, and you can.
We are working with the grain of public opinion, and even Dave, I think, had to concede that secondhand smoking is bad for children. I think I heard him concede that.
If that is the case,
we are right to put in legislative provision that enables, in exceptional circumstances, for the police to act and prosecute people who are who are engaging in smoking in cars. The one other fact that Dave cannot get away from is the fact that one out of two of every long-term smokers will die from smoking. So we need to do everything we can to create an environment. None of these measures on their own are some sort of silver bullet or some great answer, but it's all about, and Fergal mentioned earlier, the ban in pubs and restaurants. At the time, it seemed an exceptional measure, and now it is taken for granted as a sensible step to have taken.
Dave, I'll give you a chance to make a final point in a minute or two. I want to get some more calls in on this, and you can maybe take on board some of what they say as well. Terence is in Dungannon this morning. Morning, Terence.
Hello, good morning, Noel.
Morning.
Joel. No, I think a lot of people were saying about this being a nanny state and all that, legislation has been put in for smoking and all the other things. But I think it is needed because a lot of people are irresponsible with their health. And when they get sick, they expect the NHS and the nanny state to look after them. And people who look after their health to also to contribute to supporting them. We're getting it light here with this legislation because in some countries like Singapore, you can't even smoke in a parking lot or places where it's confined, not necessarily in a building.
So you think the politicians have got this one right, Terence?
They have got it right, absolutely, because people are not responsible for their own health. So the state has to come in and put law to help people look after their own health. Because at the end of the day, the state is then responsible to look after these people who are irresponsible with their own health.
Terence, thanks for your call. James is in North Down. Morning, James.
Morning.
What do you think? Are you a smoker, James, out of interest?
No. My father was.
Uh-huh.
My father smoked all his life. But he was an old soldier from the First World War.
So
it was the done thing. One of the things, of course, is that the societal attitude to smoking has changed so completely in my lifetime from where it was, you may recall royalty smoked.
Yes.
Today,
so do you think the politicians are right on this one, James? Would you ban smoking in the car if children are present?
I'm picking up, Jim's already mentioned this. You see, the legislation banning using mobile phones, handheld mobile phones, and whilst driving, it's not being enforced effectively because you see so many people on their mobile phones.
But it's back to the point that the police can't be everywhere all of the time, James. You can't expect them to enforce, they can't be everywhere where someone's using a phone or everyone's going to be smoking.
If you clog up the system with laws which are, in effect, not being enforced, unenforceable, I think you degrade the law.
Okay. Charlie's in Carador this morning. Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Joel. Just listen to Fergal there, and he sounds very tough with himself and got to be commended for trying to protect children. But I'm just concerned about when are they going to start tackling parents being drunk in charge of children? Is there plans to bring laws in for that and start fining parents for that?
Yeah, actually, there is. If I can go back in there,
yes, go ahead.
They're going to have the blood alcohol level reasonably soon, I understand, and certainly I think before the end of the mandate. So I welcome that view. I think it is important, and that will make a difference too.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Patrick's in Derry this morning. Morning, Patrick.
Hi, Joel. Just ask Dave, did he agree with the seatbelts coming in, which were compulsory, or was that just another way of taking the liberties of people?
Yeah,
it's been a proven fact that those seatbelts have saved quite a few lives, and they were compulsory. We didn't do it voluntarily, we had to do it. But the same token, stopping the smoking in pubs and such, like, has helped the cancer people. Also, if people say we don't want them in cars, we kids are, I know he's just pointed out the kids are annoying in the car. I'm surprised at that from coming from a father, but that's neither here nor there. But the fact is, if they're doing it governments, they're not making money out of it. They're really doing it to give them children a better chance of living. And if Dave can't see anything good in that, then he's living in the wrong planet.
Okay, I let Dave come back on that. Go on ahead, Dave.
Well, first of all, in 1983, when they passed a seatbelt law, to this very day, I don't wear a seatbelt when I'm in the car and I'm potting around town. I used to wear.
You don't wear a seatbelt at all.
It doesn't.
If I'm going to be on a dual carriageway, or I'm going to be driving over 30 miles an hour, I do wear a seatbelt. I'm pottering around town ever since they passed the law in 1983.
Keep breaking the law?
I don't wear a seatbelt, but it seems simply because I was made to do it.
You're ignoring the evidence there again, Dave.
Well, I actually wrote an article on this. This is about 3 years ago. I actually managed to download all the statistics of deaths from 1930 to the present day on the roads and what have you. Yes, yeah. What happened was that there was a 24% reduction in deaths on the road after the seatbelt law came in. However, in 3 years, they actually returned to the levels they were before.
So have you ever been caught not wearing your seatbelt, Dave?
A policeman tapped on the window and said, "Do you mind putting your seatbelt on?" And I had done, yes.
Right.
But, oh, my God. Well, enough said there.
Yeah, no, because, I'm sorry, you know, if I'm not wearing a seatbelt, I'm only a danger to myself. I mean, I'm no danger to anybody else.
Jeepers.
Let me quickly say, I always wear a seatbelt if I'm going to be driving above 30 miles an hour. So if I'm going to dual carriage, where I'm going to go.
If you were a passenger in the back seat, you would wear a seatbelt?
If somebody else is driving.
Yes.
If somebody else is driving, I will put my seatbelt on, yes. And certainly if I'm in the front as well, yeah. So, because I'm not in control of the car, so...
It's interesting that you sort of say, because you've been told to, you don't wear a seatbelt, and yet when the police have stopped you and said, would you put the seatbelt on, then you decided that you will.
Well, you know, it's a reasonable...
Joel, that's useless there.
Yeah, but it kind of makes the point that, you know, that's being made earlier about, you know, whether you make that choice, you think, oh, I'm being told, I'm not going to do it because I'm being told what to do. It's making the point, you know, if the police are there to enforce it, then perhaps it will force people to change their mind on that particular occasion. You know, it forced you to change your habit.
Oh, it's just like me, you know, when the police, you know, and we're talking about 30 years I've been doing this.
Oh, my God, I give up.
What I'm pretty sure will happen is if a parent is caught smoking with a car, the policeman sees them, they're just going to sort of probably give them a friendly warning.
Okay.
I
give up.
Patrick's given up on you, Dave. He's away.
There's no answers at all. He just has... He has none. Everything's contradictory. It just...
Well, but that's what he feels. I mean, he's just being honest,
if
Patrick.
If we all did that, we'd be in a right mess, wouldn't we? Holy goodness sake, if we all did that, we just ignored everybody. Thousands, millions of people driving cars. Says, hell, the police, who cares? What would we do?
I think the other important point is Dave's a great believer in himself. And, you know, that's to be welcomed where he's from. And where he's coming from.
Look, we're running very late for the news headlines here. I want to get through a number of quick calls. Carmel's been waiting patiently. Carmel, as quick as you can, if you could, please.
Morning, Joel.
Morning.
Can Fergal tell me where do these £50 fines go to?
Very quickly, Fergal, where will the 50 quid go?
Actually, we envisage very little fining. We've estimated it in the tens of thousands.
That's not what I want to know. I want to know where do they go to if you do.
In the simple administration, it'll be cost neutral.
Okay. Paul's in Belfast. Morning, Paul.
Morning.
Going ahead, Paul.
Oh, Dave, I tell you what, I'd love to see a photograph of you so good. You must be fat.
Hang on a second. You can't come on now and start making personal insults.
He's making personal insults.
He's outlining what he feels on the issue, but you can't come on and start making personal judgments based on that.
He's saying that it's okay not to wear a seatbelt, like if you're not going over 30 miles an hour. How is that they're saying? That's madness. And listen, kids is going to be, if they're in a car or in a house and people smoking in the house, they're going to get immune to the smoke. When they get older, they're going to start smoking. It's going to put more stress on the health department. I mean, Fergal McKinney should just get it passed out as soon as possible to stop people smoking in cars when they've got children on board.
Okay.
If one person gets fined, then it'll start on a knock effect. Get it sorted ASAP. It's disgusting. People's kids smell whenever they're brought back to their parents and everything. It is absolutely disgusting.
Paul, thanks for your call this morning. Thanks also to Dave Atherton, to Fergal McKinney, also to Neil Johnson from Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke.